So welcome everybody to A Course in Miracles. And looks like, Mark, you found your way off the island. Congratulations. Oh my God, that was difficult. he's got a Dharma t-shirt on. I have the same t-shirt.
Yeah, that's why I got it, you know, just because I think we should all have one.
Yeah.
Well, I take the show authors to task for getting the emblem wrong. It's got, you know, it is the trigrams, but the top should be three solid bars. The bottom should be three broken bars. That's yang, that's yin. You know, there's, so if you grab a copy of the I Ching and take a look at it, you'll see, you know,
yeah,
how it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Then there's people, but the show writers were like, who's going to know, you know?
Yeah, those guys barely knew what they were doing when they were writing the show. So I don't think they would listen to any complaints. The willing suspension of disbelief. The key to watching a movie and the key to continuing to be in a body on Earth is the same problem that Timothy was having with Lost in the first scene. The willing suspension of disbelief. Disbelief. And so the Course says that we have gone through great efforts to avoid the truth. We've gone to great efforts to avoid the truth. We now must learn how to go the opposite direction of everything we now hold dear and true. As I've said many times before, the problem is that you know something with your heart and your soul and your mind that's not true. That's the problem. Completely fooled yourself. You have completely fooled yourself. Now we have to do things like we're supposed to be looking for love. We've gone into such an area of believing the untruth that we're looking for love. That's impossible. The fish looking for water. He says, I can't see it. I can't see it. I'm going to go look over there. As he swims right through the water to get there. But there's no sense because the fish's disbelief is complete. An unknowing has been made complete. This you did on purpose. It is not a sin. There is no problem with it. It's really quite interesting. It's not a problem. The only problem, and it's much smaller, but the only problem, and it's much more impactful, the only problem is what you believe you are. You have actually given up your identity, the knowledge of your identity. You've given up the knowledge of yourself so that you could have this wonderful, fantastic dream of separation. It's not a sin. Nothing bad can come of it. It is a delay in joy. It is a delay in your cooperation with the mind of God. You've decided to make up a mind that opposes God and see what that's like. No problem. You know, we do that a lot with very beautiful things, artwork. We get a frame.
Sorry.
No problem. We're just going to mute you.
And everybody else.
When you put a contrasting frame around something, it highlights the thing you're framing. So we do that with photos, right? It helps if it's not what you're framing. There's no problem with that. You could even have a bad frame. It doesn't change the content of what you're framing at all. It changes maybe how it feels, and you wonder why. This we have done, and we've done it very well. And for all of us here, we're looking to awaken from this blindness, this self-imposed, as the Course calls it, personal private hell. So, along those lines, everybody, would you welcome Barbara? Barbara has come from Monterey to visiting our group, hopefully to stay a while. It will be great.
Barbara.
Welcome, Barbara.
Barb.
So, tonight, as I mentioned last week, the area that we're covering, the section we're covering, can be absorbed at many different levels. And, you know, you have to pick the one that's comfortable for you. Don't try to go too far, and don't bother spending too much time on something that's too terribly obvious. The exact same words have these different levels of meaning. And this is sometimes why you're going to discover, you've already discovered, that reading the Course in some paragraphs is very easy for you. In other paragraphs, it's really weird. In fact, you think it's backwards or wrong or something. Who wrote this, you say? And then you come around the next year to a paragraph that you put a big red X by, and it's the most important paragraph on the page. The book is written at different levels. It's amazing. It's only 1,300 pages. For all that this book covers. Oh my goodness. So,
Andrew, you kind of cut out.
Where'd you go?
Earth to Andrew.
I don't think he can hear us.
He'll be back.
Andrew.
Just give them a couple minutes.
Different scenarios.
There you are. Where? You dropped out, Andrew, whether you know it or not.
Oh, I didn't drop out.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
I sounded real. No. Oh, yeah, thank you. I sounded so good to me. Okay, thanks. Good to be back.
There now.
I probably didn't. Everybody seems so still. I guess that's why.
We were waiting for you to talk.
But essentially, we're going to dig in on this wonderful section that, you know, let it meet you where you are. And I'm going to give you a challenging meditation that may or may not work. We'll see how it goes. But I think everybody here, I'm not too familiar with Barbara yet, except I know she's had the book for a long time. She's been in and out of Course in Miracles for a long time. She admits mostly out. Hey, that sounds like a lot of you guys. So, so take this. Let's see where it goes. Let's see where it goes. So Barbara, let me run the meeting as we, I have a little meditation in the beginning, a suggestion, take it or leave it. And we'll all come back together in 5 or 10 minutes. We'll chat about that, and then we'll jump into where we left off the previous week. We go usually one paragraph at a time, and that's what I mean. By that I mean one paragraph a week. So it's taken us a long time to get this far. But, hey, we're in chapter 21. So let's take a few minutes and see what your Holy Spirit has to counsel you on this question about A Course in Miracles now. So I'm asking you this time, normally in practically all of my requests of you in these meditations, I'm asking you about you. I'm asking to find out where you are. And then you bring that in and we have A Course in Miracles talk to you. This time, I think it's going to be required that you answer from how you understand. Am I still breaking up?
No.
Okay, thanks, Jason. Let me know. So how you understand, where does this question meet you? If you feel comfortable talking to the group, I hope you do, because this is going to be a different answer for everybody. And even you will have a different answer next week if I ask you the exact same question. So with that, and possibly opening a can of worms for everybody, if not myself, what? How? Let me ask you this. How? In your estimation of what you know about A Course in Miracles, how could A Course in Miracles eliminate pain? That's the question. Take it any way you heard it. You do not need clarification, because the way you heard it is the way you should answer it. How? Why? Same question. Could Course in Miracles say that it could remove pain? Let's take that into meditation and see what comes out in 5 or 10 minutes. You know what pain is, and A Course in Miracles knows what you think pain is, even as you approach it on this day of your life, even as the definition of pain might change to you next week. This author has cleverly chosen a line of teaching that includes sickness, pain, and suffering. A lot of spiritual teachings avoid those words, but this teacher cleverly does not avoid those words. So I ask you, in your current understanding of A Course in Miracles, which will benefit us all, even if this was your first day, how is it A Course in Miracles can claim to take away pain? It's quite tempting to go to the easier question, which would be, how does A Course in Miracles take away suffering? This is not my question. If you wish to answer that, that's fine. If the pain one doesn't make sense at all, then definitely you can answer the suffering question. Can you come up with an understanding of how A Course in Miracles can promise to remove pain? Luann, would you care to share with us what came to you about pain?
Sure. I think the first part of what I thought was the kind of pain that results in suffering, the body and our thoughts. Yeah. Yes. So when you clarified a little bit more, I went a little further, I think. I hope. And by having our mind determine how we're thinking, rather than what we see and feel and hear and taste and all that, it seems to me like when the mind is running the show, then we're not here with this body or with these worldly troubles. And then we can get to know what is left. It's kind of like what's left when the fish doesn't have anything but water. Mm-hmm. Then he's got to know what water is, because he doesn't have anything else. What's left is is for us is love. Mm-hmm. So for me, the Course in Miracles is leading me to remember when I'm not loving, and remember when I'm not feeling like I'm as at one with everyone else.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
If I felt that way, then I could love everyone.
Good, good. Tim, would you tell us, the Course in Miracles says that there's something you can do that takes away pain. What's it talking about?
The first thing that came to my mind is that we often conflate pain and suffering as if they're almost interchangeable terms. In my mind, they're not. They have two different definitions. There's a phrase that goes, in life, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. Mm-hmm. And by that, everybody gets arthritis. They get a hammer to the thumb accidentally. You can have emotional pain. There's the pain that goes with having bone cancer. Suffering is optional in the sense that we take pain and then we needlessly amplify it.
Yeah, it makes it into a verb.
Right. So it's, a metaphor is you get shot in the side with an arrow and it hurts, and then you take a second arrow and stab it in the same place where the first arrow is sticking. That's the suffering. It doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. So when I look at my clients or I look at myself, I say, what is it here that doesn't need to be taking place?
Nice.
The suffering doesn't have
What's to be. What's the optional here. Part? Excellent way in. Thank you. Very good.
I have a client that I've been seeing for well over a year who starts off every conversation as, I'm in so much pain. She has a lower backbone that is welded in the wrong way. And what I've been trying to get her to understand on a very human level is that when we have a conversation, she stops talking about the pain. Mm-hmm. Because she's more interested in what we're saying than in paying attention to the nerves that are sending messages about the backbone. And she just doesn't get that if she could just concentrate on other things, then she wouldn't have so much pain and she wouldn't need to be taking so much pain medicine that isn't working anyway.
Yes, certainly true. Jacqueline, what can you tell us about this huge promise A Course in Miracles makes?
Well, since I've experienced, I should have been experiencing incredible pain, and I wasn't. I was in an altered state, so it was a flash flood auto accident. And so I know it's possible. I'm in the body. My body's in raging waters, hitting huge boulders, being stripped naked, but I didn't feel any pain. I was in an altered state. And I think there's a mercy or something that happens when we're in a situation. Something happens where I think that may happen for animals who get caught and killed. There's sort of a merciful thing. I consider it merciful anyway, that comes in. So that I was in some kind of a state where I was just wondering, well, did my knee just break then? Because my knee kept hitting huge boulders. And so I know it's possible to actually be traveling along in the body in raging waters, hitting boulders, and feel no pain. And I didn't until about 10 or 15 minutes after I called out. So the pain, so it seems to me the promise that we can be in the body and not feel pain must be true.
There's two things to say about that experience. Well, I had these kind of things happen to me too, where my body was beat up pretty badly, and I've been in those, not in a drowning car hitting boulders, I did not do that, but other things. Two things I've learned about that. One of them is that really, even the design of what can be hurt terribly, like this, thing that I'm in, this body, can really send the pain signals. It was done in a way where the most extreme pain signals get dulled at just about the right time. I've been in a couple of accidents where super pain was happening, and yet somehow my head was kept on me. And so a little love, a little kindness in this world where destruction and eventually, you know, suffering and dismemberment and eventually death comes. Even in this world that has a very dark storyline with a real punchline. Indeed, Jacqueline, as you explained, it is not so cruel as it could be. And then I also found out, and maybe Tim knows something about this, not that it's important to discuss this. It is. In fact, I'm just going to drop it. Forget that worldly pain thing. If you want to talk about it further, we can. Extreme pain situations.
You were say endorphins.
Yeah. It dulls the senses. The excitement, even though it's a negative excitement, the flow of hormones into the system will dull the senses and actually make you feel quite aware, quite awake. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it doesn't take away from that experience at all. There is another way of living that is not a victim. Barbara, can you talk to us about this? Course in Miracles makes this promise it can take away pain. What is it saying?
Well, for me, I can only answer that, of course, for me. And not being, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with the book. I've probably read it 3 times. But over with these big giant gaps in between where I have left it and not thought another thing about it.
3 different people read it 3 different times.
Yes, and one of them highlighted it in light yellow. The next one underlined it with pencil. And this one is highlighting it again. And now everything is covered. Yeah. You know, I mean, when I'm going through this time, this is like the final time when I have to highlight everything.
Yeah.
How has it, so say the question again, how does the Course in Miracles eliminate, how can it eliminate pain?
Yeah.
For me, I have to talk about emotional pain. Uh-huh. And for me, the book speaks directly to my heart. It's not, I'm not reading it with my head. It's speaking to me. It has a voice and it speaks directly to my heart. And it treats me like an adult. And it's hard to read, and I do get mucked up in there and don't understand things. But it's actually quite simple. Wow. Insofar as there is love, which we are and have forgotten or don't remember and are separated from. And then there's the ego, which is a lawyer and a trickster and a fiction writer. And those are all, I am going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. So the pain is, and I was married for many decades. Mm-hmm. And so, Sundari, that's your name. You were speaking last night about having disappeared, that yourself kind of dissolved. And that's what my experience this time of reading the book is. It's like I am so aware that my ego is just one friggin' story after the next. And there's really no substance there. And so when the substance of the ego is, or the substancelessness of the ego is recognized, the only thing that's left is love. And that's what the book is speaking to me. And I can see it. even in this terrible situation where I rewrite that same story every day. And the book helps me let that go over the course of the day. And then I go to bed and I wake up in the story again. Mm-hmm. So it's that's how it helps me relieve pain.
Beautiful, beautiful. Barbara, and everybody who wants to, but you guys are so familiar with me going to this particular sentence, but Barbara needs to make sure that this one's highlighted in her book. Text page 338. Text page 338. This should be highlighted in everybody's book. This is where Jesus points out in one simple little sentence and tells you what your job is. What are you doing on your spiritual path? What are you doing? What would a spiritual awakening be? You know, what's the progress? How would you even know you're making progress? All of those answers, questions are answered on 338 in the text, paragraph 6. And Barbara, actually, Barbara, would you reinforce that paragraph?
Oh, you mean where the double star is that says, oh, yeah?
That's the one.
Okay. I haven't gotten there this time in this pass through the book. But it says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes. And the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Oh, yeah. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's your task.
Yep. And it ain't easy.
No, but
it's simple. Simple.
I love
it's
what you
simple,
said.
It's simple, but it's not easy.
I love that you said it was simple. I also love that you said that this book treats you like an adult.
Yes, it does.
You can do this. In fact, only you can do this.
Right. And I respect that. It doesn't have to be easy. We're grown-ups.
That's right. We're ready.
It's time.
To just do it. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Ross? Oh, wait. Jacqueline, you got something to say?
Well, I wanted to add because, you know, I realize that an experience like that, there's the endorphins, but it also seems like that, you know, when I've had the holy instant and have so much joy, I just, you know, it seems to me that perhaps if something happened at that point, it just wouldn't be as painful. It'd be, and you know, there's supposed to be enlightened people who can take poison. It doesn't do anything in the body. I mean, if we're in God's mind and the experience of that love, so that's why I was thinking if I could have it in that experience, it seems to me, as I come into union more and more with God's mind, God's love.
Yes.
That could happen with the physical body. The body might not. You know, it just wouldn't be the same experience.
Yes. And I want to make a point that even as you look back on the experience, and of course, the closer you are to the experience, the more dramatic it would be. You can know how healed your mind is by how you feel. Mm-hmm. How you feel. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling things like, you know, fear, of course, or worse, anger, or worse, desire to attack, or worse, guilt. If you see the progression, if you're feeling these things, this book is really for you. And the sooner you do the workbook lessons surrounding and facing the most difficult thoughts in your mind with the lessons you're working on, the better. Even if it's in the past. Even if it's way in the past and the people involved are dead. Still, if you're carrying any of these burdens in your heart, you're bringing him present and you're making him real, and that's your life. There is a better way. So good, good. Thank you, Jacqueline. Definitely, definitely. There's a better way and you are choosing it. Good. Ross, talk to us about Course in Miracles idea that it can remove pain from you. What?
So, I mean, yeah, I was thinking about physical pain, and, you know, I have poison oak right now, but it just seems like this minor annoyance. You know, the less I associate with the body and you know, make it this important thing that, oh, good grief, there's something horribly wrong with the body. Oh, maybe I should go to the doctor and get this cream and that cream and, you know, and fix this. Well, no, you know what? It's just a minor annoyance and it'll pass. So, and it's just, you know, disassociating with the body, where it's just not this important thing that it has to work perfectly. It's not working perfectly. It's got all kinds of problems, but whatever. It's, you know, it's chugging along, doing okay. Mm-hmm. And someday it's just going to completely poop out. But
it's designed to poop out.
Too.
Yeah,
it is
designed to poop out, isn't it?
Nobody gets out alive.
Nobody gets out alive. Yeah, even Jesus died, and it wasn't pretty. Yeah,
but I know, you know, the Course in Miracles is—it's never about. It's really never about the physical part of it, but that's a side effect of the Course in Miracles. Is that, you know, pain just doesn't seem like that big a deal. It's like, well, all right, there's pain. It's gonna pass.
Uh-huh.
And you know, ultimately it's all in the mind. You know, the dis-ease is in the mind. So I think keeping that in mind helps.
Amen to that, brother. Very good. Thank you. Very good. Mark, you want to tell us about how Course in Miracles can say it can remove pain?
Well, I noticed that while I was meditating, you know, I started to get in touch with a sense of calm and peacefulness. And, you know, my back's bothering me right now. And I noticed that kind of faded into the back, more into the background.
Yes.
So, you know, so
Mark,
a transition.
He had back surgery where they knocked him out and put some metal in there.
Yeah. But so, you know, a transformation happens, I think, from one state to another. And I've heard people talk about that, but I have not experienced it, you know, where people are, you know, experiencing great pain, you know, dying of cancer. And they are able to completely free themselves from that pain.
Yes. A transformation.
Yeah.
This is a key word. This is a key word. And you know, for everybody, for all these types of pain and associations with the body, there are moments in your life, especially if you're doing A Course in Miracles, but even if you're not, there are times in your life when you get transported out of the situation for a few moments because you had to hit the brakes on the car and swerve around the, woo, oh, that was close. I almost killed that kid. You forgot all about your divorce. You forgot all about your taxes. You forgot all about whatever because you didn't hit that kid. Oh, wow, that was, damn, woo. That shows a break in the reality of the world without doing anything spiritual. You can have the same freedom experience with meditation. Yes, you can get the right candles going and the incense and get the right mantra, and you can too can be as free as somebody who almost killed a kid with their car. I before Course in Miracles, I found this moment when I spun my car around 3 times coming down Bear Creek Road. Anybody here who's local, I was speeding my way to college in my Volkswagen, and the car just began to slide, right? All 4 wheels just began to slide, and went completely backwards, and then it kept sliding, and it was perfectly forward, and then it kept sliding. I'm turning the steering wheel, and I'm watching not to hit the brakes, and I went around three times with a cliff on one side and a hill on the other. I did not go off the cliff that day. But let me tell you, I got all my attention. Absolutely all my attention. Life really slowed down. And those couple of seconds was like minutes. As I quickly turned, but not too far. Whoop, turn the other way. Whoop, turn the other way. Don't hit the brakes. Now, all these thoughts were processing in my head as I'm watching the cliff. I prefer the hill. No, not the cliff. Yes, the hill. And, of course, my head was full of all sorts of stuff going on, as usual. I was absolutely transported. Nothing to do with my life was going on except for those simple, simple, simple seconds. Yeah, yeah, good. So this transportation occurs, and the more you can do it without having to have an automobile accident, the better. We are learning with A Course in Miracles lessons how to bring ourselves into a state, thank you for using that word, Mark, a state. When he says state, it's just like water goes through different states. Water can be liquid at room temperature. It can go solid, cold. And the water goes from being liquid to being solid in a rather sudden shift. This sudden state change occurs. So same thing happens with your awareness. The same thing happens with your worry. The same thing happens with attack thoughts that are focused outside of you. And A Course in Miracles would show you what's going on inside of you. And when you do that, your awareness shifts into a different state from the ego's victimhood into what we're talking about tonight. It's so different. It's the difference between liquid water and a block of ice. Very good, Mark. You know, just for kicks, let's go to page 387 and read a beautiful paragraph where the Course talks about a state change like that. Page 387 in the text. Look at these beautiful words. Just wonderful. Mark, would you read that paragraph 11 for us? One of my favorites in the whole book.
Everyone has experienced what he would call a sense of being transported beyond himself. This feeling of liberation far exceeds the dream of freedom sometimes hoped for in special relationships. It is a sense of actual escape from limitations. If you will consider what this transportation really entails, you will realize that it is a sudden unawareness of the body, an adjoining of yourself and something else in which your mind enlarges to encompass it.
And I hope everybody in that sentence, you need to put a special highlighting on something else. Put it in quotes or underline it. Get a different color pen because this is code. This something else at the first reading is going to be extremely vague. But eventually that something else, you'll think, oh, my God, this is the whole topic of the book.
Something else.
Something else. Yeah, please continue.
It becomes part of you as you unite with it. And both become whole as neither is perceived as separate. What really happens is that you have given up the illusion of a limited awareness and lost your fear of union. The love that instantly replaces it extends to what has freed you and unites with it. And while this lasts, you are not uncertain of your identity and would not limit it. You have escaped from fear to peace, asking no questions of reality, but merely accepting it. You have accepted this instead of the body and have let yourself be one with something beyond it, simply by not letting your mind be limited by it.
Thank you, Mark.
Wow.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Great, Sundari. Yes. Okay, back to our round table. We're going now to Deborah, if you're ready. What can you say about A Course in Miracles and relieving pain? What?
Well, I really appreciated how Tim teased out pain and suffering, because in my meditation, I really had them kind of merged. Oh. And so that said, it just seems like it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm still having trouble separating them out, although Tim did. And it seems like our misperceptions are the source of all our pain.
Yes, indeed. I think that's a perfect summary. And I hope you take with you, and I will pair you and Tim tonight after the meeting, and you guys can chat some more. And maybe I'll jump in with you because it's so fun, about the difference between pain and suffering. This is an awakening to distinguish those two. It is an invitation to distinguish those two. Good, 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 good. Thank you, Deborah. Sandra, what can you say about pain and A Course in Miracles?
Well, I like what everyone has been saying. And the same thing. It's like I feel at this point that I've gone beyond. I know that the body is not true, that I am not a body. I am free. That's, I say that to myself all the time. You know, any physical pain, that's my constant mantra, you know, that I go through. I like what Tim had to say also, and the difference between the pain and the suffering. And I think my suffering comes from, it's more psychological stuff, you know, suffering of animals and things like that, which really affect me, you know, psychologically. That's where my biggest pain, that's where I have the biggest, that's where I find the biggest barrier is, you know, in me. So that's what but I know that every day is a classroom. Every single thing that comes up in front of me is my classroom, you know, and I'm so grateful, you know, for this teaching to help me get through that every single day. So,
and use it as a classroom now. This teaching will help you use the pain of animals suffering.
Right, right.
As a teaching.
Yes.
Your personal teaching.
I know. And it's given me the courage to face it now, you know, more so than ever before, you know, in my life. So, you know, I'm very grateful for that.
Good. This is how it feels to take weights and hooks out of your skin and take weights out of your path when you face it. I love it. Thank you, Sandy. Good, good, good. Sundari.
What popped up for me, first of all, was a number of phrases, like, I'm willing to see this differently. I'm not a victim of the world I see. And there's a section of the course that talks about pain and pleasure being identical. And I ran those experiments. We've talked about this. We both did it the same way with root canal. And so I had two root canals, even reproducible experiments, where for weeks ahead, I pretended I was going to my birthday party, and all through the process, it was the love of the drill meeting the love of the tooth, because what else is there but the love of the tire meeting the love of the road? And it was an ecstatic experience. It was like I never felt pain. And it was, wow, this really works. I didn't want to take something pleasurable and make it painful. But the course tells me pleasure and pain are identical. Now, when I get, I also know from the course that the body is a communication vehicle. And it's communicating something very specific to me. And so what I personally use and have given to both my children is this book called The Complete Dictionary of All Ailments and Diseases by Jacques Martel. And what it is for anything that you can imagine.
What does Course in Miracles say about pain?
Even let me do it, Andrew.
Let's do Course in Miracles. Come on, Sundar, you can do it.
I am doing Course in Miracles. If you give me a chance, I am doing Course in Miracles.
All right, let's see how you do.
What this gives me is an underlying belief leading to this thing. There's what Course in Miracles tells me is that the world is my projection. So I'm picking this exact thing to communicate something to myself. This gives me what that is and a counter thought, an affirmation that counters it. Whether it's true or not, it gets me out of victimhood. It gets me into my own empowerment. And it gets me into understanding that this is my story that I'm projecting out for myself. And I do believe that nothing happens that's not for the benefit of the whole, the upliftment of the whole.
Nice.
Not like this. This is like our joined one mind together creating this whole story. And the story, and we're not picking anything on our cosmic dance card of life that we think is bad for us. So I look at what is the gift in this situation that I'm giving myself.
See, nice.
I didn't get too stuck into the book there.
Yeah.
It's a tool to me to give me a specificity to walk a line to get out of victimhood.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. You're working it. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Jason, are you there? You want to talk to us about pain? Do you know anything about pain in Course in Miracles? Are you there? There he is.
Good thing, you know, I was wondering, I wish I could have spoke to Ken Wapnick when he had cancer to see if he was feeling pain and suffering. Just, you know, for contrast. And I wanted to acknowledge Sudari because I've been telling myself about my future shoulder replacement. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have no pain. It's going to be great. Not like the three freaking hip replacements. It's like, this is going to be really okay. But as far as the question goes, I only remember when my mother was dying, I drove to Sacramento, and once I opened the room where she was going to be dying in 2 days, something changed, as it said in that paragraph. The focus is other than ego. It's just so much bigger. And I thought tonight when you were asked the question, wow, I wonder how I would have thought of this experience of being out of time and in love and not taking any of this serious about my mother dying in my arms. It was just, you know, okay, no big deal. She's just dying. It was really literally like that. But I wish I would have looked at my body and pinched myself and say, hey, are you really here? Because that awareness did not happen at all. I walked around. I was in the hospital room. I ate the food, played music for my mother, got in her bed, told her to leave the body, drop it, just go away. Everything's fine down here or here. So that awareness, I don't think it was endorphins because it lasted about 2 days. And I saw the moon rise and fall and the sun come up for 2 days. And so that awareness of suffering is what I'm trying to get to now while in this body.
Yes.
We only really have an intellectual understanding of getting to a pain-free life or a suffering-free life. I'm not there yet. And it may take several lifetimes of releasing supposed guilt in my mind. And I don't think that Jesus felt anything really. Because if he was in the state that I was at of 2 days when I wasn't in pain and holding my mother and helping her pass, he wouldn't be in pain at all. Hey, give me some more nails. I mean, it was that deep of an awareness. So I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. It does. Because you...
That's the answer.
You are pointing out to us your experience of being pain-free during a painful time. as Jacqueline was pointing out, she says, "Boy, I lived through a time when there was pain about and I was not in it." Yeah, these are insights for each of us. Each of us have had insights or beliefs or knowledge on how pain, suffering for sure, is optional. This is what A Course in Miracles absolutely delivers to you. I like Mark's use of the word state, because if you're in the ego state with a focus on the body, you're going to feel pain followed by suffering, and then the pain will be multiplied by the suffering. Absolutely. And you'll call somebody who will tell you how their pain, it was worse. And you'll say, "But no, I didn't tell you about the drugs they gave me." You'll try to make your pain even, oh my God. If you're in that state, pain and suffering are not optional. They're required. In fact, they're star of the show. But if you change your state to one of awareness, to the watcher, you go toward a state change to your spiritual identity from your material identity. It's a whole different experience, and one you will know to be the truth. Donna, you want to talk to us about pain and A Course in Miracles?
Yes, I do. I do want to say something. I know your question said, how can the book, The Course in Miracles, or what does it promise you that you can experience not being in pain? So, you know, watching this, especially lately when I had shingles and something else I'm dealing with now, I really could, as far as the book, let me just go back a moment. Studying the book helps me understand how I create separation. And so when I am in pain, if I go into the direction I don't really want to go in, the pain I notice is that literally if I can't go anywhere, I can't work, I'm not doing anything, then I start really seeing myself as this identity. And then I'm in pain because this identity can't do all these things. And so I create the separation all over again, with believing in that identity. And then I can fall back on the choice to unwind that back. And then on a regular basis, I saw this happen. It's been happening to me that I just completely get in a different state. And nothing different was that just by unwinding that back,
yes,
and knowing that I, you know, I have given this all the meaning it has. And then I get a break from that again. I get a breakthrough again. And I seem to be getting more situations coming my way to practice this. I'll say that. But it really is the teaching of how I create separation, that, or how my ego self does, that. Excellent. That I know this path can undo that.
Nice, Donna. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, everybody. Crack your knuckles. And let's go to page 448 in your text. Oh, Sundari, yes.
Just a loose question came through my mind. It seems to me, I don't know, what do you think of this, that pain for many ego structures proves one's innocence, that something has been done to one, so that there's kind of like an internal proof, this proves that I'm the victim. Yeah, I'm doing all this.
Yes.
So I must be the innocent one or something.
Yes, you bet. Yeah, the ego loves pain. Pain proves your frailty and your vulnerability and the reality of your body. The ego loves it. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, good, good. Okay. page 448, chapter 21, section 2, the responsibility for sight. We're going to look now at paragraph 2. And Luann, would you please read that paragraph for us?
This is the only thing that you need to do for vision. Happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Say only this, but mean it, with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what has been done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. It sounds like kind of a, like a double promise.
Whoa. And then, just for completion, would you read the next single sentence at the beginning of the next paragraph, because it goes along with what you just read.
It is impossible the Son of God be merely driven by events outside of him.
This is the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles, black and white, on the page. What do you got, Sundari?
Well, this is actually the first thing I thought of in the meditation was last night I got the insurance bill for the house. And I just called this lady and told her earlier, you know, a few weeks ago or month, 3 weeks ago or something, that I'd gotten rid of my pool and hot tub and, the insurance should be less. And she goes and checks all these blanks. And so I do this calculation. It's like 1,500 more bucks than it was before.
No, that's not less.
It's, you know, and so, but then I start going to call this morning and I said, wait a minute, I'm making them my enemy instead of my friend. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are my solution, not my problem. And I did this whole difficult shift inside and tried to hold this woman somehow being good, even though she obviously had done this to me. But I talked to her this morning and she said, oh, no, it's not 1,500. It's just 700 more. And I said, but it should be less. And I trusted you that I wasn't going to get charged more having this conversation with you. And she said, you weren't. It's just they've raised their rate. And she said, let me work on it and see if I can get the insurance to be lower for you. And all of a sudden, by daring to make that shift internally, by not thinking I was just victim, even though I had a big reaction, I find in the moment, I'm especially good at phone calls with this. For some reason, in the middle of a phone call, I'll think, wait a minute, I can make this person in front of me my solution or my problem. And things are going to go way better if I make them my solution, no matter how much I think they're my problem. And it shifts. It shifts instantly. It shifts instantly. It's shocking.
That's your life. Your life is your very thoughts. And you live your life one moment at a time. Good, good. Thank you, Sundari. Okay.
But you know what I loved about the paragraph was it tells you what to do. And then it says, and if you haven't done it, made a mistake, your mistakes will disappear, the effects.
Yes.
I'm thinking, okay, so you do your best and you follow that that little italics part. And if it doesn't work out, it's because it just didn't work out, but not because you weren't on the right path.
It will meet you at many different levels of awareness, many different types of problems to which you apply it. And just before we dive in, Tim, would you also read the same paragraph so Luann could just listen in?
This is the only thing that you need do for vision. Happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what's done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes to disappear.
You know, it's interesting about that, about I ask and I receive. Sometimes I say, I don't understand this. Send me something that helps me understand. And I get a lesson almost immediately. Sometimes it's not a lesson that I would like to have, but I do come up with the understanding of what I was asking for. So
asking is very important. Asking opens your mind. Mm-hmm. Trying to work out a frustrating situation with everything you already know, you can chase your tail again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Trying harder does not mean you're going to succeed. Really asking opens your mind, and it allows the help that's just waiting for you.
You know, a holy instance that I had was an extreme, supreme example of that for me. It was one of the lessons said, send some love to somebody. And I tried and I tried and I tried. I had all kinds of thoughts about what I needed to do that. And finally, I gave up and realized I couldn't do it, not on my own. And my mind went completely blank. And when it came back, all I felt was love running all the way through me and all around me. And that was kind of like a lesson. You know, I can't think through these things. I have to let them go and let the answers come the way they come.
Because you just said that, I want to support you so much in your surrender that everybody, let's go to, hold your finger here. I want you all to go to page 298. With us, we're going with Luann now to this page, to 298. 298 in the text. And we're just going to look at one sentence. Don't get distracted by what's at the top of the page. We often go to this page for a different reason. But this time we're coming for paragraph 7. Paragraph 7, sentence 1. And it says, this is Jesus talking to Luann right now. She knows this is true. It says, Luann, darling, you cannot be your own guide to miracles, for it's you who made them necessary. That's right. You can't get out of a problem that you made all the aspects of and believe you're stuck with. That's when you need a miracle. You can't solve a problem from the same level that you made it. Because the level you made it, the problem's real. Of course you can't get away from something that's real. That would be a lie, wouldn't it? To forgive something that you believe is real is a lie. And that's why forgiveness seems to fail so many times, is you're trying to forgive something, to let something go, to let that son of a beep just forgive him. You still believe it's a problem. You can't, that's not forgiving, is it? It's lying. It's lying because you really think you've been harmed. Well, you're not doing Course in Miracles forgiveness. You're trying to do the world's forgiveness, which is actually an attack. Isn't it? You try to forgive somebody for hurting you. Isn't that an attack?
Yeah.
You hurt me, but I'm not going to punish you for being such a beep hole. That's the world's forgiveness.
Course, you know, that's the first time I have completely understood what you just said.
Good.
I've heard it many times, and I did never got it completely. I never put two and two together.
Good, good, good. Oh, okay.
The buffering.
What do you got, Sundari?
Well, that sort of brought up my cutting edge place in myself right now. And I kind of worked through a childhood picture, but then now everywhere I'm looking all the time, almost constantly, I'm seeing my own attack thoughts.
Wow.
And it's, I mean, it's rather constant. It's, shockingly uniform. And I know I broke through like the kiddo picture that locked it in, but it's there's such a template in my beingness about not being safe. Not being safe in the world, not being safe with people. It's just everywhere I look, I'm catching my thoughts of not being safe. And it's fairly overwhelming. And it's like I feel on this edge of potentiality of this ingrained in the fiber of my muscles and being and of, but not knowing how to work with that.
Very good, Sundari.
Put me in Sundari's room.
Okay, I was just making a note. Put you and Sundari together in a room.
Yes.
All right.
See you later, Sundari.
I will do that. Okay. And I will say,
you know, if something popped up, Andrew,
yeah,
toss an idea, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But it's a funny place to be. You know, it feels rich but uncomfy.
Yeah, very good.
So, I'm in a stew.
No, I know. Exactly. Thank you. I think everybody heard you right there personally. That was really great. Thank you. Good. Okay. All right, everybody, back to page 448. What do we have for time? 15 minutes. Good. All right. Wow. Where do we begin on this? First, let's go to the big promise. First sentence. Here it comes. This is the only thing that you need do. You're being called now. You're being called. Your enlightenment, your awakening, It is not going to happen to you. Your freedom, it's not going to happen to you. You definitely need to do, because you're so, and the Course says, this is a book of undoing, not a book of learning anything new. And when we just read a moment ago on 336, it says your task is not to seek for love, but to seek and find. Sounds like a verb, doesn't it? All the blocks that you have put between yourself and love. Now that means love is there, and it's always been there. But it's also very specifically saying that you are an addict, a deep, deep believer in these blocks to love. You really are. You hook, line, and sinker every day, every default thought. You wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night, and you expect it to happen again tomorrow. This is a normal life living in a body, and that's part of how you can enjoy the pleasure and the pain of being in a body. But when it's time for awakening to love, you definitely need to do something, because your habits are blocking love. So here we go. This is the only thing that you need to do for vision, which we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Happiness, which the book promises is your solitary function. As God created you. And he says, modifies it. He modifies the word happiness. When it comes to talking about your God-given role, he modifies the word happiness by saying perfect happiness. That's so you don't confuse it with the ego happiness. We'll talk much about that later. For now, we're on page 448 in the text. Paragraph 2. Yeah, you have this one highlighted, Jason, I'm sure.
I wrote it.
You wrote it. Thank you, Jason. Good job. Yep. Vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin. And you guys remember that in A Course in Miracles, when it says sin, It's not the same sin that's in the dictionary or in my catechism training. Sin is code for separation. It really means separation. You can replace that throughout the book with the word separation, because that's the real divide. Separation, you from everything else. And that you believe that that's effective, that that works, that that's real. This is the only thing that could possibly divide you, is this belief in separation, fundamentally and metaphysically. It's really a great vector throughout the book. All to be giving, what given you? Oh boy. Wow. But you can see the circle again, can't you? Do you remember the law of love in the Course in Miracles? It's also the law of spirit in A Course in Miracles. It's also referred to as the law of mind in A Course in Miracles. And I think a law of something else as well. It's all the same. Course in Miracles says, as you give, you receive. Well, that means that for you to receive, it's because you're giving. But as you give, the moment you think you're giving, in truth, you are receiving. And we're not talking about pizza or Bitcoin. We're talking about things that really matter. As you give, trust in a moment, you receive trust. But also, as you give fear in a moment, you receive fear. The moment you give it, you're afraid. Who knows what the other side thinks? But if you're afraid, if you're giving fear, you're afraid. As you give it, you receive it. If you give patience in a situation like Sundari did, the moment you do, the instant you give patience, you get patient. Is that true? It's absolutely true. Because it's the law of mind, which is the law of spirit, which is the law of love.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Our spiritual mind, from my understanding, is all one. We all share the same spiritual mind because we're all one.
We also share the same ego mind, but go ahead.
The same, yeah, okay. So if we give or give fear and we get fear, does that mean everybody with the same mind is feeling it on some level?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, because we all have the same ego mind.
So if that's true, then our responsibility for figuring out how to use the Course in Miracles work and undo is
have some gravitas.
That's what we're born to do, it sounds like to me.
It says in the workbook, I'm not alone in the effects of my thoughts.
Yeah.
You're really not. Yeah, you're really not. The good news is that as you awaken your mind, you still see fear. You still understand fear. You don't go blind to what fear is. You just don't believe it. It's true anymore. So all the fear that Luann can have doubles up on it. Jesus did not have more fear because you did.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit sees your fear, sees your double fear, triple fear, but does not one iota believe it's more true. And neither was your awakened mind.
So it sounds to me like then what we're sharing, if we share fear or guilt or anger or whatever, is we're sending it to people's ego mind rather than their spiritual mind.
Well, see, that's a story too, that you could send fear at all. If you could send fear at all, starts to move, and I'm not sure exactly if you meant it this way.
I didn't. I really meant that it just is out there for people to feel, even if they don't know me and they're not around.
Not because you made it stronger.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody, while Sundari's talking to us, hold your finger here. Hold on, Sundari. I'm going to ask you to answer. Everybody turn to page 217 while Sundari is enlightening us on Luann's comment about fear.
It's just a very short comment. The useful acronym for fear that I find is face everything and rise.
Nice.
And it gives a complete, and it's exactly aligned with the Course in Miracles of bringing the darkness to the light. Face everything and rise.
I've also heard
purpose of fear.
False evidence appearing real.
Right.
I love that one too.
Free energy awaiting release.
Well, I heard of them, but it's not so positive.
But it's called, useful not to be afraid.
Okay, 217.
217. This is one of the most powerful discussions of fear in the entire book, bar none. It is so fun to read. You would start on paragraph 5. You would finish on paragraph 12 on the next page. 10 goes next page. If you're interested in fear, Jesus will sit down and say, let me school you. Here's what's really going on. It's some of the most cogent, coherent writing in the book that drills down with no escape for your ego sideways. It's fantastic couple of paragraphs. But we only have time to read one sentence, and it would be the
page
one.
Page
number 217 in the text.
Thank you.
Look at middle of page on 217, paragraph 13, kind of summarizes what this thing discusses in this beautiful, wonderful five paragraphs.
On page 217, there is no paragraph.
Look at paragraph 8.
Sentence 13.
Sentence 13. If I said
what paragraph?
Paragraph 8.
Right in the middle of the page on 217. There's only two paragraphs or three paragraphs on the whole page. But who cares? Middle of the
page. 217.
Look for sentence.
Paragraph 13. 8. Sentence 13.
Sentence 13. Right above.
Oh, sentence 13.
Right above the 9 on your page.
Right.
The last sentence of paragraph 8. It's in the middle of the page. It says, this is it. Ready, folks? Tighten your seatbelt. Here comes some metaphysics coming at you full speed. Here's where, I've never seen it anyplace else, the word fear and love are in the same sentence, and man, is this powerful, leading only one conclusion. For fear is a call for love. In unconscious recognition of what has been denied. What was denied? Love. What is the acknowledgement of the lack of love? Fear. Now know what fear really is. Call for love. And then unconscious, okay, it's not a conscious recognition of love. Jesus is telling you the truth. There's only love. And if you're not feeling love, then you're going to want love, and it's going to look like fear. It might even have tears. It might even have trembling. It might even have a sense of abandonment. It might have all sorts of flavors of the ego. But the bottom of it is the simple truth written right here in your book that defines fear in terms of love, supporting the metaphysical truth throughout the book and your world and your truth. That there is only love. There is only love. Even in what it calls the opposite of love at the beginning of the book. He says you can only have two emotions. It says fear and love. But, you know, the fear thing doesn't hold up. It's a call for love. Well, that means there's only love, doesn't it? If fear is a call for love, and that's all it is, don't let your ego tell you fear is a power that's independent and a power that's strong on its own to which you are a victim. That is not true. That is an ego story. Fear can be defined, and you must define it in terms of love for you to hear the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, we've drained our time together tonight. We're just getting started, though. We're going to come right back to the same paragraph next week because there's so much the Course has to say about those italics. So keep your bookmark on page 448. We're going to come back, and we're going to really enjoy that. I've never had the opportunity to spend this much time on this paragraph. So thank you, everybody, for meeting with me, and we're going to really dig in on this paragraph and show all.
Went by like 5 minutes. Amazing. Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome, Jason. Okay, everybody, hang in there. I'm going to pop you into little breakout rooms. You could just say goodnight to whoever you end up with, or you can chat for a few minutes. Oh.